to bring the word of God forth from this pulpit. Amen?
Amen.
I just want to first thank Pastor Phil for allowing me to come forth and share this message with you today, and Pastor Roy for allowing me to share the message of God with your congregations today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, like I'm always excited to be here Saturday mornings. Amen? Because God made a way for our church. And God met our need through Pastor Phil. Amen? And I am so grateful to God and to you and your congregation for allowing us, Promise Christian Ministries, to bring the word forth to different individuals that walk through those doors so their lives can be transformed and changed. Amen? Amen. But I have a message for you today. And Pastor Phil let me know the time. But anyway, I'm just excited. I'm excited. I am excited. And I'm alive, and he lives in me. And he lives in us. Amen. And without him, we are nothing. But with him, we are everything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. And I'm going to be speaking to you from the Gospel of John this morning. And the Gospel of John was written by one of Jesus' disciples, one of his followers, John himself. Amen?
Amen.
And when he wrote the Gospel of John, John had in mind to give us Christians a fuller understanding of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. And in the first half of the chapters in the Gospel of John, John writes about Jesus' public ministry, the ministry that he had with the people, with the Gentiles, with the Jews. That was public ministry in the first half of the Gospel of John. And the rest of the chapters, the second half of the chapters in the book of John, those chapters relate to Jesus Christ's private ministry to his disciples. Amen?
Amen?
And we see it in the scriptures, how he gathered them together, and he spoke to them, and he taught them. He was their teacher. He was their master. Amen? And they learned so much from him, and they witnessed so many great signs and wonders through Jesus' ministry. Amen?
Amen?
And they were walking with the Messiah themselves. They were walking with the light of the world. They were walking with Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? Thank the Lord. Amen? And as we all know about the Last Supper, and in the Last Supper, Jesus was with his disciples. And just hours before his arrest, Christ shared with his disciples, "I'm only going to be here for a little while longer. I don't have much time with you. But I must go to be with my Father. I must go so at the cross, Jesus can glorify the Father through him." Amen? So he told them, and if you read the book of John, he tells them over and over, "I'm only here with you for a little while. I'm only here you for a little while. So grasp everything that I'm telling you." That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. Just listen to what I'm saying to you. And he tells his disciples in chapter 14, "When I'm gone, don't worry, because I'm not going to leave you orphans. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave you alone. Don't worry, you're not going to be by yourself. You're not going to be walking on your own. I will come to you," he said. He told them, "I will come to you." He said to them, "If you love me, if you follow my commandments, and if you believe in me, the Helper, the Holy Spirit," hallelujah, "I will send to you, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have taught you."
Amen.
Amen? And that's found in verse 27. So I want you to turn to John chapter 14, verse 27, because right after that, this is what he tells his disciples. And if you're there, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says, peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world's, as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen? Amen. Those are big words. Those are huge words. This is a great teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ, during the supper, while he was talking to his disciples, told them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And when we talk about the peace, and when you think about the word peace, we think about quietness. We think about stillness. We think about no wars. We think about no chaos. We think about harmony in our midst. But the peace that Christ is speaking about in these verses is the peace that is only found in Christ. Amen. It's much more than be still. It's much more than being in a room full of silence. It's much more than that. In the Hebrew language, the word peace means completeness. It means soundness. It means health. It means safety. It means provision. That means when the Lord said, my peace I give to you, that means he's going to give you completeness in him. He's going to give you soundness in him. He's going to give you health in him. He's going to provide everything you need in life. He is your safety zone. Hallelujah. He is your everything, because the word peace means to be complete in Christ. Amen. 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 This is what he's telling his disciples. And this is what he's telling us today. Amen. Amen. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. Amen. So his peace, I'm here to tell you, and God is here to tell you today, that his peace is available to each and every one of us. Because Jesus, at the cross, he paid the price. Amen. For everything that is contrary to the word peace. He paid it all at the cross. He paid it at Calvary. He paid it when he died. When he said it was finished, it was finished. It was a done deal. God reigned. God had the victory. Amen. And because he has the victory, we have the victory to overcome all these circumstances that don't allow us to live in that peace that only Christ can give to us. Amen. This is the word from the Lord. Hallelujah. When we look at the scriptures in Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Because when you turn to that chapter, and you don't need to turn there, and it starts saying love, peace, joy. Amen. So peace is right there in the middle. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, we cannot take away from it, because peace is, it means completeness in Christ. Amen? Amen. And the first fruit of the Spirit that it talks about is the word love. And we all know, for God so loved the world, and it's found in John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him may not perish, but have everlasting life because of Jesus Christ. So the love of God is the love of God, the love for his Father, the love when he was at the cross, when Jesus was at the cross, he looked at us And he said, I'm doing it because I love you, and I'm going to give up my life for you. And it was done. Hallelujah. Peace. See, in the scripture you don't read, he's my the king of love. He's the king of joy. No, he's the king of peace. He is the king of peace. You read it in the scripture. He's the king of peace. He's your king of peace. In him you are made complete. In him you are made sound. That's why the word of Christ says that we have the mind of Christ. We have a sound mind. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus Christ. Because he is our King of Peace. And then it talks about joy. But it doesn't say he's the King of Joy. No. But Jesus, when he paid the price at the cross, the joy was fulfilled so we can have everlasting joy. That the joy through him that we can have and it's available right to us, it can be experienced and exercised fully at 100%. Not some joy. God gives you unspeakable joy. Hallelujah. Unspeakable joy. He gives it to you. Amen. See, peace, we seek it for the world. Peace, we seek it in our homes. Peace, we seek it in ourselves. Sometimes we struggle with ourselves because of things we have done in the past or the things that we're not doing right. We seek it at home because not everything is going according to the way you want them to go. There's much disharmony in our homes. There's a lot of discordance in our homes. There's a lot of division that the enemy's bringing in our homes, in our families. And the world seeks peace. But we know the world's at war. But yet they seek it. And some of us may have in the past turned to herbal supplements, turned to meditation, maybe turned to sleeping pills, and may even have turned to other addictions. Amen? But you can't find peace. That peace is only temporary. The peace in Christ is permanent. And it's forever. Hallelujah. So those are just temporary things. Yeah, you may find peace when you take those sleeping pills and you fall asleep. But guess what? When you wake up, you're back to normal. You're back the same. Why? Because you did not surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and only through him is where you can find the peace. Amen. A complete peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The true and the perfect peace of Christ is only found and is available to us today at the cross. At the cross. In Jesus. Amen? Amen? The world would have you turn to so many other things. So many other things that are not for you. You get greatly deceived. You turn to things that are not good for you. That are not good for your lifestyle. But this is the world. Amen? That's why Christ came and said, peace, I leave with you. And I give to you, not as the world gives to, I give to you. Not as the world gives it to you. I give it to you differently because it's found in me. Amen. Amen? Amen? That's why in the Word of God, you will find in Romans 12:2. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. How do you renew your mind? Get in the Word. It's very simple. Get in the Word of God. Amen. Seek God. See, you're not alone. You got the Spirit of God. Jesus is alive right now, living in us. He is alive. He has risen. He's alive, living in us. So we're different. We can't be like the world. That's why the scriptures is very clear. You want to know how to live your life? Read the word of God. This is the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen? So read the scriptures. Get in the word. Seek the Lord. Get into that prayer room. Get into that war room. I call it my war room because I got a war for peace in my house. I got a war against the enemy, but I know that I can be at peace in Christ. And I know that once I pray, God has my children. God has my family because there is peace, as complete peace in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's only found at the cross in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is available. Peace is available for you today. We just need to trust God. Believe in Him. Amen. He's got the best for you. People cannot give you the peace that you're looking for. People cannot comfort you the way Christ can comfort you. Because Christ and God, they have your plan all worked out. They know your plan. God knows your plan. See, we serve a holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have it all. Amen? Amen? And God, before he left, he says, I'm only going to be here for a little while, he told his disciples. But when I go, I'm going to send you your helper. I'm going to send you your comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that's going to reside in you so that all things that I have told you, you will remember. Amen? Amen? So God had the perfect plan, and Jesus willingly went to the cross and suffered. Willingly went to the cross and suffered. Amen? Amen? So if you want peace in your life, believe in Christ. Follow his commandments. Receive his love for you. Love Jesus. Love him unconditional, just the way he loved you. Remember what he did on the cross. That's why it's so important for us to have communion every month, because we bring into remembrance what the Lord Jesus did for us at the cross, at Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, the name of, there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he gave his life as a ransom for you and I. Amen. So don't be fooled by the world system. Don't be fooled. Those things are temporary. Those supplements, addiction, they're temporary. But in Christ, you can fulfill your life and follow his plan and live a fulfilled life in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
God's got you back.
Amen.
Amen? He loved you, and we're here to love on him. We are here to worship him. We are here to praise him because he did it all at the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God, we serve a faithful God. We serve a God that will never fail us. He will never leave us. He is right here, living in us. Amen.
Amen.
So, church, I pray that the peace of the Lord be with you today. And stay with you today and always. God bless you and shalom.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a scary thought. Three preachers. Oh my God. why don't you stand up and just stretch your legs for a little bit? I only got about half of this book to read, so. I'm not kidding you. Bless the Lord. Hey, happy Resurrection Sunday.
Woo!
Yeah. Well, you know, in our church, you can sit down. I did that at a wedding one time, and they stood for the entire wedding. Can you imagine that? Boy, they were mad at me. Anyway. Bless the Lord. It's great to be here. Thank you, Pastor Phil. And that was a wonderful, wonderful sermon. Wonderful. Just a beautiful message of peace. We need it.
Yes.
Well, you got me today instead of Pastor Murray, because she's actually fasting her words for the women's retreat. How many women are going to the retreat here? Okay, that's great. I'm gonna let you in on something. We have a secret code for the women's retreat. You know what it is, right, ladies? No? I say women's retreat, you say? Woo! All right, can everybody join in? Yeah. Women's retreat! Woo! All right, so all the women that are here that are not going this year, I expect you to be there next year. There's a tremendous blessing. Pastor Marie is just a wonderful woman of God. I just want to give her honor this morning. Amen. Well, you notice I said Happy Resurrection Sunday, not Happy Easter. You notice that, right? It's not because I don't like chocolate bunnies. It's not because I don't like jelly beans or egg hunts. I just believe that Resurrection Sunday is probably the most important day on the Christian calendar for me. Now, we all love Christmas, and, you know, I'm not going to put down Christmas because, you know, that was Christ's birthday, and I love the announcements of the angels and the shepherds doing their shepherding thing and the manger, the baby Jesus, and, of course, the tree and Santa and all the rest of this stuff. My wife used to call them Satan Claus. Now, you don't have to call them that. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. The resurrection of Christ, though, sets a different tone for us. And basically, that's what I want to share with you today, because we're all on a spiritual journey, I think, right? We're all on a spiritual journey, or maybe you just happened into this place and you got lost and you just walked into the church. We're on a spiritual journey, and I'm going to speak out of 1 Corinthians 15 today. I'm not going to open the Bible and do that, because for brevity's sake, we want to try to keep it. So I'm going to recapitulate it for you. And now you have to be Bereans. Now remember what the Bereans were, right? They took what Paul said, and they received it, but they also searched the scriptures to see if it was true. So that's your responsibility. Don't just come to church and expect us to just give you everything. You're supposed to take what we give you and look it up yourself. Amen? Anybody offended by that? I'll give you a headlock if you are, you know. I'm not above it. Anyway, Paul sums it up pretty good. He said that without Jesus' resurrection, there would actually be no Christianity. There would be no gospel message. You know that the gospel is good news, right? If you look in that 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, it says that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That's basically, that's the gospel. That's it. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day, rose again. And if you look at verse 6, it says, that his resurrected body was also seen by 500 people at one time. So, you know, these conspiracy theorists, that shoots that theory, right? 500 people saw the resurrected body of Jesus Christ at one time. So it wasn't that people were hallucinating, unless they had a mass hallucination. Jesus actually lived, died, was buried, and rose again. And because of that, we will rise again. And it doesn't have to do with our physical death. We rise again every day in Christ. Because every day we have choices. Do we go by our own soul, by our own ego? Do we look at life that way and get everything processed through that? Or do we look at it through the Christ-centered viewpoint? And we make our choices accordingly. Anyway, that's a message for another time. Sin has been atoned for. Amen. Sin has been forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Yes. The powers of darkness have been defeated.
Hallelujah.
And they have no more dominion over us, for those who are in Christ. Amen. Victory has been won. Amen. And that's what we're celebrating today, the victory. Because love has proved stronger than death. And because we believe that, we have faith. We have faith in that, right? If Jesus wasn't risen from the dead, our preaching would be empty. We couldn't really preach that. We wouldn't have faith. Now, verse 16 and 17 says, "For if the dead do not rise, then Jesus is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, faith is futile. And you're still in your sins." Can you imagine that? You'd be in your sins for eternity. In other words, the consequences of your actions would be on you, and you'd be responsible for them for eternity. And most of our actions are from that soul realm, right? The fallen nature. And we make those choices in our life, even though we're Christians and even though we know better sometimes, we can't help ourselves. We just make those choices, that, and we would be condemned to our sins if Christ is not risen, according to what Paul said. So all I could say is, if I'm still in my sins, yuck. Because I don't know about you, I may look good, I may know the Bible and all of that, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. And I'll never forget that. The moment I forget that, the moment I stop giving glory to God and thanking Jesus Christ for this incredible sacrifice. I mean, when you think about the entire Christian experience, it's just, it's unbelievable. God would take the form of man, feel everything that a man would feel, a man and woman now, mankind, would be scourged, beaten, reviled. It's incredible. And then die on a cross. And that would pay for us. It's amazing. Without that resurrection, we would have no eternity in Christ. We would have no eternity with God. We would not be able, because we'd still be in our sins. Sin separates us from God. Basically, that means missing the mark. We'd be separated from God for eternity. Which means that we would be devoid of any, you know, any of those beautiful spiritual blessings that we would be able to have. I don't mean just the good things that God gives us now, but I mean to be in the presence of God forever. An incredible blessing. Now, it also means that those that we love that have died already, they would have perished into nothingness. Our hope for them, and our hope for revisiting them in the next life, that would be out the window. We would, Christ is not risen. They'd be perishing. But Christ has risen, Paul says. And he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep before us. Amen. Amen. Human life is sustained by hope. Did you know that?
Yes.
Wouldn't you say that?
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about a maybe hope. You know, some people have this hope that, well, you know, maybe something's going to happen if everything breaks right, you know. I'm talking about a hope that has a conviction that it actually will come true. And that's the hope that we have today. That's what Jesus has given us through his sacrifice and through specifically this resurrection. Because when we don't hold that expectant hope, our lives become devoid of meaning. And it can be said that until we're ready, I've heard this said, and I sort of believe it, and you can take it or leave it, but until we're ready to die, we really never can be truly ready to live. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we would have no hope for our future. But we know that that's not true. We've gathered here today to proclaim and to celebrate the risen Christ. He is our hope. He is our future. And I want you to notice, if you do get to read 1 Corinthians 15, put a little asterisk next to verses 20 through 22. It says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So what's the qualification to be part of that all? It's just to receive it. To receive a gift of grace that was freely given. I cannot understand. Anytime somebody wants to give me something, I gladly say yes. Thank you. But especially eternal life, especially my faith, especially my hope for the future, especially that hope that will ensure me that I will be in the presence of God forever and live in the blessings of the presence of the Almighty God. Now, we all love people, right? Everybody has somebody in their life they love, hopefully. Even if it's yourself. No, I'm kidding. But can you imagine being in the presence of the one who is love? That's just mind-blowing. It goes beyond conception. Eyes not seen and ear not heard. Nor can mind conceive of what God has in store for those who love him. It's going to be beyond. I mean, I have a pretty good imagination. I can imagine all kinds of Star Trek, and I love that old science fiction and all crazy stuff. I'm not a heretic. I believe. This is a little fantasy, you know. God, through Jesus Christ, has given us an incredible gift of eternal life, and all we have to do is receive it. Amen. So I just invite you today, I know most of you have received Jesus, I don't want you to go through any raising your hands or any of that stuff, that churchy stuff that makes everybody not want to come to church. It's a heart thing. It's you and him. It's you and God. If you haven't done that, or let's say you have, but you're like, you're just sort of skating, all you got to do is ask him for a little bit more. And every day you get a little bit more. And you know what the amazing thing is? That God gives you exactly what you need, when you need it, in the amount that you can handle, and he starts to bring vision to you. That's part of the gift. It's the part of the gift of resurrection life that we can live today. Because we all got problems, right? We all have mountains that we have to climb over. But the grace of God, the love of God, is for today. It's not just for sometime after we perish and we leave the earth. Jesus said in John 10:10 that this eternal life will be in a life of abundance. And this doesn't mean we're all going to get Cadillacs or German cars when we go to heaven. It means more of a vision, of an interaction with God. We've called to be one with the one who is love. That's what abundant life is. That abundant life can start right now. Right today. And all we have to say is yes. Yes, Lord. Move on me today, Lord. Let your resurrection power flow through me today, Lord. I receive it. And you don't have to tell anybody about it. But you will want to. When the resurrection power starts flowing through you, you change. You're transformed. I love that. Pastor Benice quoted that Romans 12 too. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You know what? You can't renew your mind. You know that? That's right. The Word of God. We're washed and we're transformed by the Word of God. The Word of God is the printed Word, but who is the living Word of God? Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead provides us with the foundation of our faith. And that faith that our sin is paid for, we're all right, we're made righteous before God. It ensures us a future in the presence of God. And that eternal life will be a life of abundance with grace and in God's actual presence. Now, I would say that that's pretty good news, wouldn't you? That's the gospel. All right, so before I give this over to Pastor Phil, believe it or not, I'm actually finished. I can't even believe it myself. I mean, I just was, where'd the time go? I'm trying to be, rebrief you. Usually I go on and on and on, and I just forget. I can't even stand it myself. I fall asleep. I want to leave you something. As I was praying, I really felt that God gave me something for you as a gift to take out of here. So I want to read this to you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God in him." Can you imagine that? You and I and the person sitting next to you, not necessarily the person behind you, but the person, I'm kidding. We're all the righteousness of God. And the righteousness now is not necessarily that we're doing this perfect. What it means, righteousness means that we're in right standing with God. And it's a judicial thing. In other words, God judicially makes us, that means by law, he makes us right in front of him through his grace. We are the righteousness of God today. So what I would like you to do right now is to make a confession. All right, I'm going to set up the booth and we're going to come up here. No. I want you to confess. I want you to say it. Say it. I want your soul to hear you say it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Ready? You.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
All right. I'm not sure that the person next to you believes it, so why don't you turn to them and say it to them. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. You have been acquitted. Happy Resurrection Day.
Amen.
Amen. Be at peace. Be a light. Be a light today. Amen. Let's go.
Awesome. Awesome, Pastor Roy. Awesome. It really is a privilege to share this time with you guys, and it just encourages me. You know, I don't get to get fed that often because you're always giving out. You're always giving out, you know. But it's really good to hear what God puts on your heart and how he's moving by his Spirit. And as you guys were telling me what you're going to be sharing, what was on your heart, I said, okay, Lord, I want to follow up with what they're preaching, with what they're saying. Well, I wake up Monday morning and I wake up with a song in my head, Because He Lives. Because he lives. If it wasn't for him, the fact that he's not, if he was living, we would have no peace. We'd not be able to walk in resurrection power. We'd not have that hope. Amen? Amen. So understanding the importance of God's peace and the purpose of Christ's resurrection, that's the only way that we're going to have true peace and hope. It's through Christ. The world, as we've just heard, and I didn't see your notes, the world cannot offer to us what only God can. And Jesus has done that for us. Amen? But I wonder, I'm going to have you thinking a little bit now. I wonder how many times God has done something in your life, because he lives, that you've missed him. You missed him. I appreciate what Reverend Bernice was sharing before about how the first half of John's gospel talks about the fact that he spent time training and teaching, right? The public ministry. And then he took the second half of this of the gospel, and we say that it's really private, just for the apostles. But it's really interesting, and it hit me as you were sharing this, is I wonder how many times, now Jesus did it all, right? And he did it right, and he did it all, and he did it all right. Right? All right. All right. No, he really did. He did it all right. But yet, with all that he taught, and all that he demonstrated, they missed him. They missed him. But thank God he still lives. Amen?
Amen?
But they missed him. And I wonder how many times we miss the presence, the power, and the person of God right in our lives today. Amen? My scripture is going to be out of John 20. If you have your iBible, your iPad, your whatever you have, John 20, the eyes have it. John 20. I'm going to begin verse 1. And unlike Pastor Roy, I'm going to read the whole Gospel of John. No. John 20, begin with verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb, but both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still didn't understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. I'm going to hold it there. So the women were amazed, okay? They go to the tomb. It's open and it's empty. It's open and it's empty. Now, having learned everything that Jesus spoke to them about, having experienced everything that they had sat at Jesus' feet, they heard his teaching, she wasn't wishing for a resurrection, was she? Because when we look at the scripture, she's shocked. He's gone. But he was proclaiming this all along. But she didn't hear it. She didn't hear it. And I wonder how many times we, even today, God is speaking to us, and we're not hearing him. She didn't think of a resurrection at that point. She believed Jesus was stolen. The woman ran and told Peter and the beloved disciple, who we believe is John. They thought that a terrible thing had occurred, and they assumed that grave robbers had dishonored the tomb. So Peter and John do what? They go on a foot race to the tomb. And John beats Peter to the garden, looked into the tomb. It was not quite empty. It wasn't quite empty. John saw the grave clothes. In his humanness, his first thought was that the women had made a mistake. He bent over, looked in, but he did not enter the tomb at that point. When Peter arrived, he rushed in and noticed specifically the grave clothes and a separate burial cloth. He must have remained inside puzzled at what he saw. Peter must have been thinking like this: why would a grave robber have left the clothes in this order? Why take the body of Jesus? And after a period of time, John went in and perceived he's starting to get it. He's starting to figure it out. He perceived that the grave clothes and believed. He saw how they were laid, how they were carefully folded. Think about it. If you're going to rob something, you're going to steal something, you're going to leave a nice, neat mess when you leave. No, you're going to tear up the place, right? Intentionally laid by itself, intentionally, and by the grace of God, they perceived what happened. Well, you know what? It wasn't due to a robbery, was it? No, he realized that Jesus had risen from the dead and then gone through the grave clothes. The tomb was open not to let the body out, but to let the disciples in, to see that the world would see that he rose. And John tells us after a long period of teaching by Jesus, the disciples still didn't understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. I wonder how many times we have to be told over and over and over again until we get it. I wonder how many times we get preached at or preached to, and we hear the truth and we say amen and we go hallelujah, but we get the theology of it, but we don't have it in here. We don't grasp it. You know, despite Jesus' guarantee, the women, Peter and John, did not anticipate his death. And after he was buried, what did they expect? Well, I want to make it personal for a moment here. I have a couple of questions for you, as well as for myself. How often do I ignore, overlook, fail, or refuse to recognize God's presence? Another question for you and for myself. Am I truly looking out for him? Are you looking for Jesus today? You know, they went to the tomb looking for Jesus. He wasn't there. He's here. He's here. Here's another question for you. How expectantly am I living? Are you expecting God to work in your life? Are you expecting God, the one who is alive, right? We say he's alive. We celebrate Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen. Are you expecting him in your life? Are you expecting him to do greater things in your life? Amen. Those are questions that we need to ponder. And why? Because where Jesus appears and how Jesus thinks and what Jesus says often may not be what we expect it to be. Right? He works in a... He doesn't go by formula, does he? So if I say 10 Hail Marys, 17 Our Fathers, and 37 Apostles' Creeds, and I'm going to be forgiven of my sins? He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say, well, I'll tell you what, if you come to me and pray at 6 o'clock in the morning and you spend 45 minutes with me every day, this is what you can expect throughout the rest of the day. Boom, boom, boom. You know what? I'm sure glad with God it's not 2 plus 2 is 4. You know what I find about God when we pray? He goes beyond my prayers. He goes beyond my prayers. He goes beyond. And I have to learn to expect greater things because I can actually keep God in a box, can I? I can actually keep God in a box because I'm expecting God to work it my way. Okay, God, here it is. Lord, here's an opportunity right now, right in front of you. Lord, I'm going to pray for this person. And Lord, if you heal him, oh, you're going to get the glory. Lord, I know that, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. Lord, this is how we got to do it, okay, Lord? I'm going to lay hands on him. I'm going to pray for him. And he's going to be whole. And God, you're going to get the glory. And then his whole family's going to get saved. And then you go to pray for that person. And nothing happens. And then you'll come across times when you've said something to somebody and you didn't even remember what you said. And they, you know, I want to thank you so much for sharing with me last week what you said about this, that, or the other thing. And you're saying to yourself, I never said no such a thing. But I'm saying, but in myself, I'm saying, wow, I'm pretty good. I guess I got it right. So because he lives, it affects both our forever destiny, but also today, our daily lives today. God wants us to live with a sense of unlimited hope. And a firm anticipation. And so because he lives, we can live expectantly with great anticipation. And guess what? Because he lives, you can face tomorrow. No matter what's going on in the tomorrow, you can face it tomorrow because he lives. And what else will he do? He will guide you. Not he has guided you, he will continue to guide you. All fear is gone. What is fear? Fear is paralysis. The enemy likes to paralyze. But Jesus says all fear is gone. The word tells us to not worry about anything. Anybody ever worry? We all worry, right? We all worry. Sinners. The word tells us not to worry, but to make our supplications known to him, right? He holds our future. He's got your future in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. I can't sing, but he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He is. He's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over everything. And you know what? If he's got our future, life is worth living, isn't it? Yes. Life is definitely worth living. Amen. I've had a number of people in my life over the last couple of years die, close people. And I, on the way home from a funeral, I'll be talking to my wife, and I'll say to her, you know, don't get mad at me right now, but I'm going to say something. What's that? I said, I'm kind of envious. What? I said, I'm kind of envious. No more nonsense. No more nonsense. I was outside doing my snowblower and my lawnmower, changing the oil. My brother-in-law was a major mechanic. He loved mechanical stuff. And I'm getting all full of oil. And I just started talking to my brother-in-law. I says, you know, Mike, you don't have to do this anymore. Because he went home to be with the Lord. But then I'm reminded what Paul said. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So what I have to remember is I'm here. God has a purpose. I have to fulfill that purpose. And when it's his time, I'm going to go home. So while we're here, we can live life and we can live it to the full. But do we understand that he really lives? Do we understand that he's every day making intercession for you? Do you understand every day that he's trying to guide you and to lead you, to direct you, to speak with you? Are you seeing him on a daily basis? So as I said earlier, I had got this song in my head, Because He Lives. It's an old hymn. And it kept running through my head over and over and over again. And I says, wow, you know what? Had it not been for Jesus, we wouldn't have the peace that the world could not give. Had it not been for the resurrection, we couldn't face tomorrow. You see, we all want, who wants the resurrection power? One final question. Who wants the fellowship of the sufferings? Ooh, what happened to all hands? Can we just close with this particular song? Why don't you all stand?